ladies and gentlemen, the acting DG and the group CEO, can you please sit down? Thank you very much. Let me welcome the delegation from the Department of Transport, the Chairperson of TRASA, Chairperson of Board of TRASA, Dr. Popo Mulife, the Chairperson of CBRT, who will be making a presentation later on with the team CBRT, and indicate that as we are moving South Africa forward, critical and at the center are economic issues, which actually we believe that transport is at the center of everything. It be public transport, it be freight, it be rail, it be air. We have to do what is right of making sure that the economy is pushed and the economy is able to be moved forward within those. But as we are doing that, we always make sure that the transport portfolio lives up to the ideal of a transport portfolio that is safe, that is secure, that actually can be able to deal with social, economic, but also take into consideration issues of the environment. That is what is critical as you execute your task wherever you find yourself. That you must take care of the environment to be able to make sure that our people are safe, they are secure, which are some of the things that the minister has signed with the president to make sure that the output and the outcomes will be able to take cognizance of this. Without much ado, Portfolio Committee on Transport, you're welcome. I am going to be giving it to the acting DG. The Minister and the Deputy Minister have sent apologies that they will not be able to be with us today. The acting DG, Mr. Letswalo, I'm going to give it to you to introduce your team, and then I'll give hand it to Dr. Popo Mulife to take TRASA so that they can be able to report to us. Thank you very much, Mr. Letswalo.
Thanks, Madam Chair. My name is Collins Letswalo. I'm standing on behalf of DG, Mr. Scott, who is a letter. With me here is Mr. Matabata Mugonyama, who is the DDG Public Transport, and I've got Mr. Tipo Dibagwane. And I'm joined by my other colleague, Scott Free, is here from RAIN, and our team from CBRTA and our team from CRASA. So, the future. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mulife. We would request you to introduce your team and request also that the team must make a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With me here on my left is the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee, Mrs. Zodwa Manasi, and on my right, immediate right, is the CEO of TRASA, as well known to the members here. This is Tepo Lucky Montana, and Tepo Tole, our chief strategist in the in TRASA. It is my privilege to ask the group CEO to go ahead and present. I've been told that we have very limited time.
I'm sure, Group CEO, you wouldn't have a problem in presenting in 20 minutes. Then we the remainder of the time to an hour, members are able to tease out your presentation. I hope I did not, I'm not unfair. I know that you are very passionate about your subject matter.
also colleagues from other public entities. I will move you, please, Chair, in our presentation of the strategic or corporate plan of PRASA for the financial year 2015-16, 2017-18. Chair, I'm just waiting briefly for the presentation to come. On the screen, but I'll proceed in the meantime to make some of the remarks and other presentation will find me in the middle. Chair, we decided to focus this presentation in a particular way in the interest of time. We want to, of course, look at what are the underlying policies of government that underpin our strategy. We want to look at the key strategic initiatives. We want to look at the budget, and also, of course, we want to look at what we've been asked to deliver in the next 3 years as a public administration. The presentation, of course, Chair, is in accordance with the Section 52 of the Public Finance Management Act. I will not go much into detail on those, but I think that the requirements are very clear in terms of that particular requirement and format for presentation of questions. Again, Chair, just to reflect on the PRASA, to remind honorable members of the operating structure of PRASA, that we are essentially a group of companies with three divisions and two subsidiaries. And if you were to summarize what we do, we are involved in rail. As a passenger, as a services company, we're involved in rail, bus, and we're involved in property and assets. So that operating structure seeks to summarize. And the mandate of PRASA, of course, is captured in the Legal Succession Act as amended in 2008 to create PRASA. I will, of course, not go into that. It's very specific about the kind of passenger services we ought to be delivered. Of course, the law is also putting in the secondary mandate that we have to take into account government, social, and economic objectives in delivering on our mandate. And most importantly, of course, for the sustainability of the business, it requires us to make sure that we exploit the assets that have been transferred to us by government. The assets that we have, Chair, I will not go into much detail about the assets that we have. I think that the profile of the assets are changing quite significantly as a result of the massive investment that has been happening over the last 4 years, as well as the restructuring of the asset that we have. Okay, just to look at the strategic roadmap, where we come from and where we are heading to. Of course, in line with the public transport strategy that the Department of Transport developed, and of course later approved by Cabinet. We looked at this application to rail at that time, and if you look at the public transport strategy, the first phase, it looked at the modal upgrade of the different public transport modes from taxis, buses to rail, and I think that period in 2007 to 2010 focused quite aligned itself with that upgrade period in the public transport strategy. And of course, between 2011 and 2014, we've seen again a very increased focus on recapitalization or replacement of the old assets with the new assets. And of course, we're in a phase where when we look at growth and expansion, of course, PRASA is to look at integrated public transport networks in line with that strategy of the department. This effectively, this particular slide outlines the detailed tasks that have been completed or that are currently underway. If you look at what we've done since PRASA was established in 2009 and 2010, we had to build a new entity altogether, and we had to reposition it. And I think it was a very difficult period because we had to deal with things like harmonizing benefits of employees, bringing different organizations together into one.
We've consolidated, we've recapitalized with, of course, the new rolling stock, the new signaling, and the restructuring of our own property portfolio. I think that the corporate plan talks to a new phase that we're getting in, which is 2015 onwards, where we need to integrate public transport, we need to integrate the systems that we've invested in over the past few years, and most importantly, to grow passenger services as well as the passenger network that is currently in place. There are four main drivers for our strategy that we, our corporate plan that we see. The first one, of course, being the National Development Plan. And in that development plan, I think the honorable members will see that it talks about increased investment in public transport and resolving existing public transport policies. I think at the heart of it is the recognition of the need to undo the history of underinvestment in public transport infrastructure operations as well as in scale. Of course, it talks about the need to devolve transport management to local government, and of course, that we provide services to public transport users. That is very important. I think part of the debate about using e-toll speak to this issue, because when you look at how we move forward, it's going to be very crucial how we understand those incentives. And of course, for the committee, the committee has played quite an important role in us renewing the commuter fleet, replacing the entire fleet of metro rail with a new modern fleet, which is currently underway. Of course, I spoke about the national transport policy from the Department of Transport. I think it sets some very clear goals for us, and more specifically on public transport, and I wouldn't go much into that. We have, of course, in addition to the to our three-year MTF corporate plan, we have a long-term strategic plan, and this strategic plan looks at the future network of Qatar, both on the roads as well as on the rail side. And I think that it ranges from the role of the current commuter rail network to the long-term when we deal with proposals such as high-speed railways that we need to address. Of course, the most important thing that we want to emphasize is the key driver of the Brussels strategy is the issue of urbanization and revival. The massive growth in our cities, I think that it's bringing quite a lot of challenges, but in fact it reminds us of the need to invest more in public transport as it were. Without a functioning public transport, and more specifically without an efficient rail system, commuter rail system, we'll not be able to deal with the large volumes of people moving into our cities. So I think that the current emphasis on investment on rolling stock signaling, increasing line capacity, of particularly for metro rail, is very important to meeting the changes in the cities. And in doing so, I think that we need to come back and remind honorable members and the country, of course, of the importance of investment in public transport, but more specifically in rail. And you can see from a land use point of view, again, that railway happens to be the most efficient. You can see that to move 50,000 people per hour in one direction, you can see what you need. You need a 175-meter wide road. And I don't think that's what this country wants to do, to build more highways, because it were not sustainable, it's not good land use. And you can see you need a 35-meter wide road to have buses to move that 50,000 people. And you need only a 9-meter wide railway track for metro to move that number of people that we need. So we want to, I know that we are lobbying for rail, but all transport planners around the world, they recognize this fundamental reality, and they put their resources in line with that. Again, when you look from an environmental point of view, you can see who causes the damage to our own environment. I know my colleagues in the Department of Transport, in aviation and road may not like that, but you can see that one train contribution to emissions, and you can see that the contribution of one plant to the damage on the environment is quite huge. And that is why I think many parts in Europe and other parts of the world, they've actually shifted in some of their corridors to move high-speed users of products, because they're looking at sustainability issues as it were. Our strategy, of course, having driven by those factors, has to respond to three different things. One is that we have to take into account the fact that the nature, commuters that we transport in passenger lot, their needs have changed. Unlike in the past, in the apartheid model, where we put them in black people in one train and take them to work and in the afternoon back again. The current users are completely different because of changes in society. They've got their own preferences and they demand different facilities. So the investment must be to that particular issue. So for Plaza to maintain its relevance, it must have this kind of product that speak out to the different needs that are there. So it's no longer one size fits all model that we have. And of course, we have our own ambition, and in respect of passenger transport, we want to be the leading player in terms of that. And I think that we propose a number of solutions, passenger transport solutions in our corporate alliance that we have. We have, Chair, identified some of those strategic ambitions, but I want to move directly to strategic initiatives that I think underpins what we are going to deliver to the committee and to the country. At the heart of our corporate plan is a concept of public value. We want to build a public company that delivers a public value. So even if the cost of running the rail system may be very high, but the benefit to the country should be huge. And we've seen it in many parts of the world where, particularly on the metro system, they run at a loss financially, but their contribution to productivity, to efficiency, to reducing congestion is very high. So that is why it's very important that we get that balance. And at the heart of that, that is what we say in this corporate plan, public value. And what are the things that we define some of that public value that we deliver? We think that we should be playing an important role to facilitate greater access for the population, both urban and rural poor. I think that is quite important that is there. We think we should be providing affordable transport. We should be contributing to economic growth and development in the country. And I think for a transport committee in Parliament, we think that the frequent rural transport, I think we see around the country, particularly for the rural areas, people carrying boxes asking for leave because of the lack of frequent public transport. We think that we should contribute to local industrialization, and I think the process for buying new trains has been a major contribution to industrialization, and particularly the revitalization of our rail engineering industry. We think that we should have an intervention focusing on the empowerment of women. We should have special programs for the unemployed, particularly in terms of public employment as well as training. We think that we should play a role in terms of energy regeneration and railways around the world. Modern railways play quite a major role in terms of that. And of course, I spoke about reducing emissions and contribute to cleaner and efficient cities into the future. What are some of the key strategic initiatives that we'll implement this year and the next 2 years? The first one, I think, is rolling out the new train system of the future. I think this year we are delivering some of the new trains, both on the locomotive side as well as on the commuter side. The Minister of Finance mentioned in his budget speech that we'll deliver 44 first train sets, which is about 528 new modern coaches in the current MTF. We think that is very important. We will start to activate some of the modern traffic management scheduling and maintenance system, and I think the committee visited our facility in Kalfontein, the Gauteng Nerve Center, which will be part of what we'll activate from this year. We, in line with the public transport strategy, we are starting to work with the cities in positioning rail at the core of integrated public transport networks in the country. We want to increase the rail share of public transport because that is at the heart of an efficient transport system. Because we don't want a taxi to move 60,000 people per hour. But that is the role. Rail is designed for that. Taxis are designed to carry, pick and drop people. But currently our system is standing on its head, and that's what we need to transform. So the first thing that we want to deliver in this MTF is this train system of the future. And I'm quite happy to say that South Africans will start to experience and travel on those new trains in this 3-year period as we deliver those facilities that are there. Secondly, we want to expand across the network. We couldn't do expand our network in between 2007 and 2010, but we think now there's a massive growth in the country that justifies expansion of the current network and even creation of a new network to meet the needs of the country. Thirdly, of course, we want to consolidate our real estate strategy. It is at the heart of a sustainable process so that we don't become a burden on the national fiscal. It's quite clear that the assets, particularly the properties we own, should contribute to sustaining Plaza moving forward. We want to embark on a robust asset investment program. There's a huge opportunity with both our property assets as well as some of the telecom assets. Of course, there's quite a lot of regulations that govern, for example, the telecom space, but we think we're sitting on a huge network that should be contributing to the sustainability of the company. There's a massive opportunity in expanding the rail network for private sector participation, as we've seen with the house train and other networks that is there. We have to build the skills that will sustain this modern period, and I think that I'll talk about the numbers in terms of the actual deliverables in that period. And of course, most importantly, from an industrialization point of view, we'd emphasize our program is not just about buying new things, but it's about making sure that we revitalize our own industry, we bring back the skills. And I think that, Chair, let me report that in government, there's been quite a lot of discussions about how South Africa should be used as a hub to support the African continent in the manufacturing of coaches as well as in the manufacturing of locomotives. This is now formally a decision of the African Union, and both Prat and Transnet were called over the past few weeks to contribute to, you know, how do we take that resolution forward. And I think that manufacturing capacity in Prat and Transnet should not only be used for South Africa, but to support the continent to achieve its goals. Chair, I want to, of course, look at the budget quickly. As you can see, that our income we generate from three specific fare revenue, of course, is metro rail as well as our buses, and that is city to city as well as Translux. They give us that fare revenue, and you can see from metro rail side that we are seeing a massive growth year on year. We are quite happy with that. And we think that reflects the fact that we started to improve services, as it were. Still huge challenges, but we think that it shows that trend. Our second major income, of course, is rental income. All the tenants in our stations, they're paying us good money, particularly where we have modernized the stations, we've commercialized. We've seen banks, we've seen restaurants, we've seen everyone. I mean, Cape Town Station, Park Station, Durban Station, and even some of the township stations, they actually played a major role. If you look in Tembisa, Boxer, for example, we'll go to one of the stations. So we are a tenant here. We are an anchor tenant. And most of the spaza shops in the township, they don't have to travel to town. They buy most of their requirements from there. So you can see that we are trying to turn these stations into real centers of economic nodes. Of course, government subsidy remains, and as we have always said, that we don't think with the special layout of our country, the history of apartheid, the fact that the majority lives far from places of work, even with the most efficient railway system, we still need to subsidize, or else we put the burden of travel on poor households. And I think it's very important. Of course, what we are saying is process that we generate our own resources so that we don't become a burden on the state. Other people have interpreted that to say we don't need a subsidy for commuter rail. You do need a subsidy, or else people who are earning 800 rand a month will not be able to get access to economic opportunities as it were. So the rate is almost 50-50. It changes year on year. In some instances, you get 53% from government. We generate 47. There are instances where we generate 52%, depending on the performance. But you can see that we've experienced a growth from the government's injection. The operational subsidy
hasn't increased significantly, it's been nominal, but the capital subsidy has been increasing quite significantly. And I think this is in line with what government is trying to achieve to modernize the rail system. I think all in all, it's been increasing at about 17% per annum, which I think is very good when you look at our capital program. This is a breakdown of the group revenue, and you can see that the numbers are changing. As you can see, that income with subsidy will come to about 9.8 billion rand, and but our revenue in the MCF without subsidy will get around 5.3 billion rand, which is just over 50%. Chair, four or five years ago, of course, that government used to give us 67%. We used to generate 33%. So it's one of the areas we've turned around and we want to consolidate moving forward. This is the details, of course, of how we spend that subsidy. And unlike many observations, you can see that most of the money that we spend, we get from government, goes towards Metrorail. The bulk of the money, 70% of our subsidy, subsidizes Metrorail services in the country. So what it means for someone in the township, for every rent that we receive as Prasa, about 70 cents of that rent is paid for by government. And of course, when you debate out there, people say, no, no one cares about us, but they are in a trade. Well, 70 cents of that rent has been paid for by government. So every day, we have massive numbers of people who go to work and back out of this subsidy as it were. Of course, the breakdown paid off about how in the different divisions, I won't go much into that. And of course, I spoke about our capital program. You can see that from the capital program, 57% of that money goes to infrastructure and 42% goes towards rolling stock. 5 years ago, it was a difference. It was the opposite. We used to spend 80% of our money to fix the rolling stock. So it tells you that we've rebalanced this business so that we can achieve. Because if you buy new trains, you don't invest in infrastructure. You're not going to be able to do that. You can have a new train, but the platform doesn't match that or the signaling or your rate. So it's very important that you find that. So 5 years ago, we were trying to stabilize metro rates and bringing in train coaches back into service was very important. But today, we are no longer doing that. We are creating an integrated network, and that is why you see these changes in these percentages. I thought it was very important to emphasize that. Of course, in the next, and you can see here that if you look at the difference or the spread within the division, 18%, 18 billion of that of the amount that we'll spend will be spent by a corporate office, but that is for the new train, so it is a bit misleading. But the real spend of our money on infrastructure is plus a technical division, as it were. This is a detailed breakdown of the capital program approved by our board. And you can see that in the next 3 years, we'll spend 44 billion rand just to ensure that we create the right kind of infrastructure that is there. So my final slide, I want to focus on the specific outcomes that the committee can look at. I'm moving with speed. I hope that I didn't miss some of the explanation. But the first issue, Chair, that we want to do in this current MTF, we want to increase the ratio of public transport by 3%. That is very important because if you look at 3%, if you look at the National Transport Travel Survey done by the Department of Transport, it actually shows that a lot of communities, particularly in Gauteng and KZN, they don't have access to rail. If you look, for example, the Western Cape is different. About 27% of people do not have access to rail within 3 kilometers, which means they can't walk to the station. And that is why you see the usage of rail in the Western Cape being so very high. But when you go to Tshwane, you go to Johannesburg, you go to KZN, the numbers are over 60%, meaning therefore that people have to choose whether they're going to take a train. For them to use a train, they must take another mode of transport. So it's costly, it's time-consuming, and that is why you see rail has lost its share. So we are trying to reverse that by expanding the network to address that particular issue. So the rail share of that is very important. We'll do a market share study, working with the Department of Transport, with the tech industry, so that we can be able to understand that very clearly. And as part of that, we want to enter into agreements for feeder bus services into Metro Rail, where we've increased the capacity. We don't want to do it all over. We want to do it in corridors where we've increased the capacity. Because if you put feeder services of buses into rail, 122 bus feeder services to Metro Rail, and we think that that is doable. I spoke about, of course, the World Class Metro service. We noted that there are corridors, particularly the corridor from Abopane to Pretoria Station to Jimiston to Park Station and Naledi. We'll test, and that's where we'll introduce those 44 train sets that the Minister of Transport spoke about. So that's what we'll do. We'll do 12 major stations for modernization will be done, and 70 station improvements. And these are different in terms, because the modernization means a massive change in a station, whereas the 70 stations will mean changing commuter experience of facilities. And that's a program that on average will spend between 5 and 10 million per station, depending on the condition of the station that is there. We'll complete during the MTF some of the signaling upgrades, and I think that the Gauteng one will come into string. The 3.8 billion rand will come first into that network. So I think that is some of the things that that are there in our corporate plan. Thirdly, Chair, we'll embark on a public employment initiative. And here what we are doing is that we want to do an infrastructure rehabilitation, employ young people. And we think that in the MTF we'll be able to draw 10,000 young people into job opportunities through infrastructure, particularly a drainage project, platform rectification project, project to deal with vegetation. So it's a kind of public employment program within that space, and we think that in the next 3 years, that's what we want to deliver and contribute, and we think that's part of public ready to make sure that we contribute to employment creation in the country. Women in rail, of course, 3.6 billion rand has been set aside in the MTF to benefit projects that would be delivered by women-owned enterprises. I think that is very important. This is a targeted program. It doesn't mean women will not be involved in other programs, but this is specific targeted programs to make sure that we've got that kind of intervention. So this is what we deliver in the MTF, as you said. In respect of the rail engineering industry, say I think that I'm happy to report, and I think the chair of the board of staff did mention that we've now completed all regulatory requirements for the building of a factory for the new trains in Nigel in the East Rand. And so we'll commence shortly with that building of the factory. So the 580 of the 600 trains will be built in the countries we've emphasized, and that work will commence soon, whilst the 20, only 20 of those we ordered from Brazil, and I think that some of them will be completed in September, shipped here, and we start to test them in November this year. So the completion of this manufacturing plant is very important for us. And as you said, that over the next 10 years, we'll create 3,000 jobs out of that particular factory and industrial park that we built. So this is what we'll deliver in the next 3 years. In terms of skills development, we've got 19,500 engineering and artisan skills for rail. We've got 1,200 for our signaling system. And I think that some of the details, I think we've lost some of the details on the... Okay, I think let me jump to that. The priority skills to support modernization. Chair, this is my last slide. I'm just going through the deliverables. From priority skills to support modernization. So it's 19,500 for rolling stock, 1,200 for signaling skills, both engineers and artisans. People will be maintaining the modern signaling system. We'll do 1,920 learnerships, and we'll do 3,000 on the customer safety side of things. So those are the numbers on training that we'll deliver in the MTF. For the rural masses, as you said, they said that we want to talk about frequent public transport for the rural areas. We said we'll introduce 6 new regional services to connect the major cities with the rural areas. We are able to do so because, as we speak, 11 of our new modern locomotives have been delivered, and we think that they should be dedicated to regional services in the rural areas. I think that is very important. We, of course, will do 6 cross-border bus routes with Autopex in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, and here we are waiting the CEO of the cross of the CEO behind me. Let me not expose him. He's sitting with some of our applications. I'm not pleasurizing him, but for us to deliver on that, we are dependent on him, whether we've got licenses to operate right into the continent. We'll have 6 regional metro services linking places such as Johannesburg, Mahikeng, and the north of KZN, and then part of Limpopo. I think that these are the new services that we want to do. The intermodal services, bus and taxi, are very important for us. We've been talking to the taxi industry, in particular in Gauteng, that the four major regions we can fit into our own space. Once we finalize the pricing and how we deal with it, we'll make an announcement in this regard, but I think that there's been a lot of discussion. Chair, on energy, we can't pretend that it's not a major issue. PRASA spend a lot on energy. We spend almost R1 billion every year on energy. And most of that, of course, is not in offices, but the bulk of that is what we call traction energy, to move commuter trains in the country, as well as diesel for long distance buses, as well as long distance trains. We think that we've got a program on energy efficiency, where the new trains, of course, will bring 31% energy savings from what they are. So it's not just investment in new trains, but from an energy efficiency point of view, it's a major, major savings that will deliver even with the 528 trains. We have 20% energy regeneration. By that we mean we want to save. When a train applies its brakes, it generates a lot of energy. Currently, that energy is lost. We are looking at German as well as Chinese technology to make sure that we save and conserve that energy. And probably at some stage, if we reach a critical mass, Chair, we may come and ask the committee. I know I don't have a mandate from my chairman, but if we save a lot of energy through that energy regeneration, we'll come and up and seek for a license to be an independent power producer as well and sell back to the grid, as it were. So the more you transform, the more things change. And I think we've got to think ahead out of that, because we can't lose that energy, as it were. And of course, Chair, in stations, we've already done the first 20 stations in the country where we have introduced energy conserving technologies, including groves and everything. And that some of them were funded by Eskom itself to make sure that we do that. Finally, Chair, on improving financial performance, I know that this committee has set a lot of emphasis as to what we do to sustain PRASA moving to the future. I'm going to rely on the fiscal, as I said. We still do need the subsidy, but we'll generate more income from our own operations. And you can see Metro Rail revenue, I've already spoken about that. It is increasing year on year by about 13%, which is good. Chair, we made a commitment in our strategy that will increase our income from property, Chairman, from 220 million rand to R1 billion by 2018. And Chair, I must report that we've moved it from 220 last financial year of just over 430. This current financial year will be 570 million, and 2017-2018 will deliver R1 billion from this. And I think it's a major change, a major game changer, because from government, it means we'll be asking less R1 billion to sustain our operations. And I think the more we grow that side of our portfolio, then I think it's good for that. I shouldn't be saying this in front of the CFO at the transport department, because he may see that as an opportunity to reduce the subsidy, as it were. The gross lettable area, Chair, that is commercialization at our stations, I think that we set ourselves high targets, and most of that revenue will be coming there and will be contributing to that. We'll acquire 6 development leases, which means these are leases that we have where people bought PRASA land or leased PRASA land over a long period of time. They build malls, office blocks and everything, and they're supposed to bring those back to us in 25, 30 years' time. What we are trying to do is to buy back those development leases so that we strengthen our cash position, we strengthen our balance sheet, so that we build the kind of company that in future will have an asset base to fund the modernization as well as the expansion of the network, as it were. So that brings me to the end of my presentation, and as you can see, that this is not a drawing, but it's an actual locomotive that we delivered, and already have delivered 11 of these. They are light, they are efficient, and the speed is quite good, and I think that is part of what we'll use for regional services in between the country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Montana, colleagues, honorable members. There we are, the presentation by PRASA. Any takers? Let me indicate that honorable Carter will be leaving us in 45 to an hour to go and be engaged in other matters of Parliament. I'm going to take Honorable Carter, I'm going to take Honorable Kumsinga, I will take Honorable Sibande, Shadow Minister, I'll also take Honorable Bushielo, in that the last one will be Honorable Teko in along those lines. Fighter, are you not going to have a The fighters have been fighting the whole weekend, so he's tired. Honorable Keita.
Thank you, Chair. I think I took all his questions. thank you, Chair. I think just firstly we need to commend to the party. You know, really, I think there's a lot of hard work, a lot of positive work has been done, especially if we look at the delivery of new trade. But, you know, there's one of my concerns. If we look at KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and Mpopo, and Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, those places, we're really, if you look at the amount of people that is living there, there is just no services. You know, how long is it still going to take us to get there? I'm one of those people that say, we need to get the trains rolling, okay? Firstly, we look at accidents on the road. How many road deaths can we, will no longer be existing if we're actually going the rail route? Just for interest sake, a flight, for example, because you look at the, I think one of the urgent things we need to look at, we look at trains and we look at the town. You travel from KwaZulu-Natal, for example, say from Durban to Johannesburg. With a car, it will take you about 5 hours. With a bus, it takes you 6 hours. And with a train, it takes you 11 hours. So it is just not an option for a lot of people. So the best is we'll go the road route. So I think that is something that we urgently need to look at, to actually have trains that are going to move a lot faster than what is currently happening. But for interest sake, I was on a flight from Joburg to Cape Town a week and a half ago, and for the first time the pilot actually said that each passenger on that, or everyone on that flight, used the average of 37 kilograms of fuel. So now you take it, how many flights are there a day? And if, or how many people are flying? If we all work on an average of 37 kilograms of fuel, it is actually quite scary. I just want to ask a question on Metro Rail. What are we doing about the security side? I think security is crucial, but also communication. You know, you sit with a train, and I'm going to give an example. A train breaks down here in Cape Town. There's no communication mechanism to communicate with passengers to say this is the problem. Eventually, after 40 minutes, people start getting out of the train. Okay, so what are we doing with those type of things? Because I think it's important to have those extra services. Shoshalosa Mail. 4 years ago, most of the lines have stopped. Okay, for upgrading. Now, yes, I see Cape Town Joburg is running again. Joburg Port Elizabeth is running again. Durban, Johannesburg is running, but what's happened to the say, for example, Cape Town, Durban, which used to stop all Bloemfontein and cover all those areas? You know, how much longer is this upgrading process going to take? Okay, I've covered the security. I'm so sorry. So, very interesting. If you have a look in, I went to Taiwan a year and a half ago, and if you look at those IC trains, but also the interesting side there was you had to a different level. You could go basically economy, you could go business class, you could go first class. Business class, first class, you would get a bottle of water, and your economy was really unaffordable. So you can look at that as being part of the subsidized section. But your business and your first class would not be the subsidized one. I don't know if I've covered that. I'm sorry. This is when you jump and say things before you get to the page. if we look at stations itself, what are we, if we look at the stations, I know we say that there's the income coming from your major stations where you've got vendors, etc. But, there's one station that always breaks my heart when I go there. And I go there just for the sake of not using the trains, but because there is so much history there. I mean, I'm a Gandhi lover, okay? But the Peter Maritzburg station. It is appalling. It is a nightmare. I know there was millions spent there, but there's really just nothing happening. And that will also make people feel insecure of actually using the train if you have to go through that station. I'm going to make this my last one because I'm talking a little bit too much. Okay. If we look at the income, what is the income from operators wanting to use online? I want to give an example. For example, Ingwen Municipality, I know, purchased a steam train a couple of years ago. And what they wanted to do was actually use some passenger rail lines in order to promote tourism between Durban, Peter Maritzburg, and in that beautiful area of Ingwen. And I know that the cost is so astronomical that it wasn't worth their while. So what are we doing, especially those lines would not be operating now, what are we doing to promote actually private commute or private entities to have passenger rail? Thank you.
Thank you, Che. Very encouraged about one of your priority strategic priorities in increasing the gross letting area. I do have one concern though. On this one page that indicates your GLA gross letting area baseline, mentions or it indicates 1,103,000 square meters. You don't have page numbers, so it's difficult. So excuse me for just showing it to you like this. Now, on the last page of the section that deals with improving financial health, in contrast to that, you are indicating that the net asset versus liability ratio is actually decreasing, in that you also suggest that you would dispose of more than 500 pieces of property. So how would you try and how would you ever succeed in maintaining a positive liability asset ratio, as you indicate, from now up to 2017-18, yet dispose of more than 500 properties and you sit with a fixed baseline? That's my only question.
I'd like to join my colleagues to comment about this presentation that is so good. But nevertheless, we do have some challenges supposed to be addressed. First of all, what is worrying me about the whole arrangement about the public participation? How often are you talking to the people? Because you still remember, if you talk about integrated teams and all the stuff, if you don't involve people, what do you expect in the future fight? And then also the participation of the taxi associations. Why I'm raising the issue of the taxi associations, somewhere you spoke about the feeder capacity, that you get out some buses. Oh, I don't know whether you try to engage some of and then another one, which is worrying me. You spoke about, somewhere you spoke about a lot of arguments with a lot of municipalities. What is worrying me practically here in Western Cape? The people of Plumstead and Wynberg. Why is this a problem? I don't know, are you aware? Why I'm raising the point is that you raise the issue of signing agreements, whereby people, they are not against about the development, but
the worry of the team is that they've never been consulted, and then also they do have recommendations in terms of alternative routes, unlike this one which is there, which is going direct to their team, because it is specific that they're going to the Brakwa, is going to demolish, I mean, the municipality is going to demolish some of their houses, and then with the help by Brakwa, because this project is for Brakwa, my city. If you talk about my city, on my house, I understand if you talk about the Brakwa, the fight, some of this is in help by Brakwa. So, may please elaborate further how do we rescue this land system? And then, what is worrying me also, the selection of the board. I thought that this plan is going to involve, because there are talks about the monitoring. I thought it's going to touch it, because it's no more a secret. We're talking about monitoring. I thought that, and I know that there are processes that they've taken on the ground, and they some of the current ministers committed themselves in terms of monitoring. But here in your presentation, it doesn't appear. Monitoring. And then also, which is worrying me about the issue of, if you're talking about revival of, renewal of some of your structures. Remember the challenge in Northern Cape, whereby people were surviving with the station, like the people of Newport and some of the areas around there in the Northern Cape. I thought that we are going to touch them, and so that we can, in terms of delivery, so that they can be taken on board. And the last one, which is worrying me, you spoke about the rolling of the new trains. You indicated that there are around about 44 trains are going to be delivered. I don't know if that's a correction. In the next year. Yes, correct, in the next year. What is worrying me? What is the link of the new trains and also of the railway itself? Because previously we were told that the railway which was there was meant for goods, meaning that goods trains are bigger. And then these fast trains are going to be smaller. So I wanted to find out, because it must go parallel. Because if you push more trains on, what about the rail? Where are going to take this? Where are going to run those trains? So I'll put it there. They will come. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Defector.
Thank you, Chair. As you know by now, we're a great supporter of rail. I believe it should be the backbone of public transport, and I think this entity is doing a fantastic job. They've been doing a great job with many restraints for many years, and I've been one that's been lobbying for a long time to allocate them a bigger portion of the budget, because they deserve it, and they're producing the goods. So congratulations to the board, chairman of the board, and the CEO is doing, and all his leadership are doing a fantastic job. So Brother Africa is indebted to you. I've gone through the documents. This is a particular interest and passion of mine. The only thing that has jumped out at me, which the presenter mentioned, is the devolution of public transport to local government, which is of interest to me. That can be unpacked a little, because I want to confirm that if this does go to local government, the two main things happen, that these aren't unfunded mandates, but this is indeed properly funded and done properly. And secondly, the required resources, both human and other resources, are supplied as well, so that the functions can properly be rolled out at a local level. And thirdly, is the accountability. Are there going to be mechanisms to ensure that a local authority then fulfill those required mandates, and it's done correctly and in such a way that the communities are properly affected?
Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Michelle. Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Freitas was quoting my name. I'm not sure what they're sitting directly next to me. But I'm welcoming the presentation, which I think was very good. Congratulations to the Minister Commission. And yes, I agree that we need to take one of the public transport and a mass mover, and we need to support it. I think we all know that the issue is the traveling time, you know, and the issues that you have with Transnet in terms of operating on the tracks. I just want to know what are the discussions going on so that we can be able to improve on the traveling time. The one on the municipality, I just want to also add two issues on what Honorable Defense has said. One, are they ready, municipalities, to receive the function? And what indication do you have to inform you that they are ready to receive the function? And number two, what will be the implication of the whole integrated plan, transport planning? Because if you're going to put it in bits and pieces, it's just going to also affect the whole idea of an integrated airplane. Mm-hmm. The next one is the issue of the critical skills. I'm happy that you are addressing the issue of the critical skills. And I'm also saying that maybe linked to that, also we'll see the number of consultants that are being used in the company going down. Because surely you are using consultants because you don't have skills. I've been moving in system bound in terms of addressing the skills, critical skills. So I'm hoping in the next time when you present, the number of consultants will go down. The issue of the integration of rail, buses and taxis, I think we've been talking about it more than doing it. I know there are implication issues, the permit issues, you know, negotiations, the payment model and all other things, but I think we need to start realizing it and make it work. Because the fortunate thing is that buses for buses, which can be used to service your first leg and your left leg, but also the whole country can then copy from that model and be able to use it as well. So I think we need to leave. We have the capacity, CEO, and I don't know why you are afraid to use that capacity, because you have it, and I know you have the capability to do it. But also on the taxi issue, we really need to also bring them on board. We've been saying it, you know, it's good, but we really have to. I know some buses, because I've written autocross, some buses arrive at their destination late hours. So we can have arrangements with the taxis to come and pick, you know, give them the arrival time and have that arrangement that they pick up. Those are the small things that I think can help in terms of our national goal of integrating our public transport system. The other one is on the issue of the regional plan. I don't see it coming out because I'm passionate about it. I know we have the incorporated plan. I know we've got the other green plan in the Northwest. I know it's not even present at all. And we've been watching with amusement as you invest in urban. You actually call us rural provinces. You call us rural provinces. We're eagerly waiting for you to start doing on that, because we can't be spectators forever. You know, it has been 21 years. We really want to see something coming on. And also linked to that, I just want to know what. How did you resolve the issue of the K-range? I know there were problems there. And you, for us, I know you don't want to send through the there. But I think as a rail company or government, you need to really assist the K-range, because they can't keep on using the government fiscal to try to run that if it's not going to do that. Then the other one, I think it was asked by my colleague, the Moloto Range. We've danced, we've eaten, you know, we have shaked hands, we've kissed each other. I know the project has been transferred to Transport Official. We really want to show you, you know, to see Transport really taking this, but I think we've been waiting for more than 21 years for Moloto Range. if there's one thing that this government must do, is to actually make the election. You know, it will bring votes to people. It will show that as transport we are moving forward. You know, so I think you need to put more energy, because now we don't have something blocked or any other thing that's been transferred to PASA officially, and make sure that, because we've got the support of the committee. The last one, with the good work that you are doing, I think what is lacking the most is the education and the communication part. Because you should start teaching us how to use your training. We know how to serve, we know how to evade theft, you know, we know how to do everything. Are we still going to have our school on the train? You know, some of us are in Apostola and do the phone training. So you need to educate us so that we know the features of the new train, what is expected in the new train and what is not expected in the new train. I think you can also copy the model of Gautrain. Because Gautrain, when it came, they said nobody is going to choose Chappies on their train. You know? And we rented and whatever, but we did not choose that Chappies. You know, we complained and whatever, because they prepared us in time, you know, to say you are not going to do that. Even their station are such that you will not even have that Chappies or not eat at all. And I think that is what keeps the station safe. So we need to up the education and communication skills, because really I also believe you are doing a good job. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Chairperson, I felt very good when I heard Honorable Freitas congratulating Grandpa for doing quite a very good job. How I wish the Honourable can write.
I think we've got a challenge. What happened to the Honourable Member? Honourable Carter, Honourable Lausi, Honourable Mfinga, Honourable... There are a crew of some sort that I don't know. Okay.
How I wish Honorable Jeffrey can write a statement about what he has just said here and raised in Parliament there, so that anyone can hear what he said here in this room. Nonetheless, Chair, I've got a few comments to say. You see, there's been this good work that's been done by Prasa, the new look of the park station. That's very good. There are those economic activities happening there, and also the safety arrangements of commuters there. That was very good when we undertook our site visit there. It was good to see that. The other issue that I'm just worried about are the long distance trains. Your social lover. You see, our wish you can have a plan, even if it's similar, that targets school opening, school closing, festive season, Easter holidays, so that there, even that we see there in the passing, people sleeping there, whatever, you can have arrangements at Prasa so that we are able to move people, bring back that confidence that people used to have in using trains, whatever, because in our days, train is taken as the most efficient mode of transport. Can you bring back that confidence to the people? You also said you've got this program of women in rail. We appreciate it. We see it on paper. But how I wish you can come sometime, share which groups you have funded, you have assisted, where are they, so that you are able to tell the good story about women and race. My other point was about the issue of the families that were to be evicted there because of the Maiseja Road the other honourable have said that already. The other thing is this issue of there are some new economic activities, people moving, wanting to move scrap metal. They stand along the road. They sometimes use trucks. How I wish you can revive those railway lines so that they are able to use the good train to move those scrap metals, because there's that business. Now, it contributes to poverty alleviation. There's no train that, let me take the example of the N2 from East London to Durban. Most of them are women. They stand there during the day till late in the evening waiting for trucks to take those scrap metals. I think they sell them in Durban, whatever. If they can be, because there's rail there, it has been renovated, but there's no train. You can run that service at a loss for the first time, but people will be aware that there's a train moving there, even if it's a good train or whatever train that can be there. At least we can benefit out of that. There's also in your expression that you talked about, there's a mention of a motherwell. Is it the motherwell that's in the Eastern Cape, or is there another motherwell? If it's the one that is in Eastern Cape, we welcome it, because there's a lot of movement in that area. I think motherwell is the second biggest whatever in the world today. So it's a motherwell there in the Eastern Cape. I think the other colleagues have asked the other questions that I noted here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Mine is a plethora of issues to JT Nalway. Me and you, let me indicate that in your strategic plan, the bigger document, you spoke to issues of scholar transport. Justice passing. I'm not putting a question to yourself, but just making a proposal that maybe what you need to do is to look as to how you can be able to assist both the Department of Transport and the Department of Basic Education. In that, already you've got access in AutoPay. Is there no possibility that you can be able to assist, particularly those provinces which are the hardest hit in terms of scholar transport? Talking about cases and where every now and then, almost every second month, you've got learners losing their lives in this regard. If it's not doable, that you can be able to really unleash your assets and go and assist both these two departments while they're dealing with policy issues, because you already have got buses that you can be able to utilize to assist, to save lives, because we cannot say that we want to see commuters being safe, being secured, and there is this risk of the buses which actually are transporting our learners to a variety. But also within the same vein, that because your buses, whether it's first class or city to city, have got routes. Is there know-how that you can speak to the people who are issuing out permits? Then you go to the rural heartlands where some taxis cannot be able to reach. Of course, the fares, you have already indicated that you're not very keen or interested in profits, but it's a service that must be rendered by the Republic of South Africa. And if you are able to go to where taxis and other bus operators cannot be able to reach, to just assist, because it's a social responsibility of some kind, I'm putting a CSI kind of a thing, that you're able to look into those routes which actually have not been reached. Engaging in other avenues, chairperson of the board, part of the things that you come across is that there are so many litigations against Prasa. Security on the trains, people will always come and say they were stabbed in the train, this is what happened. Some of them, they really even the injuries that happen from time to time, some people losing lives and stuff like that. Do we have a strategy to can be able to deal with some of these litigations? Because in the end, I've been trying to look at some of the litigations. My focus has been on REF and CRASA. In the main REF, actually, it's purported that the court are dealing with more cases of REF. But also CRASA is one of those public entities which have got challenges in terms of litigation. Do we have a strategy to be able to deal with this thing? I know that the new trains will be having security features that will be able to offset some of the things that we are coming across. But to me, it becomes very important because as we are developing these strategies, I mean, I know amongst other things that you should be able to talk to are issues of communication, capacity building, education of the commuters, so that it assists in offsetting some of these litigations that we see against yourself. Lastly, you spoke to three critical issues which actually, when it comes to expenditure, you're very highly challenged, and your maintenance issues, your personnel costs, and the energy, the traction energy that you spoke to. Also, to me, what becomes very important is let's have mitigating strategies which will be able to assist to say how do we deal with some of these things as we have identified that these are the cost drivers within CRASA. And how do we deal with that? But I'm very keen, scientist group CEO, how you're going to be dealing with the traction energy, like you have indicated, we want to really be. It's a very interesting concept that I think we should really explore that the traction energy as it can be revitalized again. I mean, we're always talking about recycling water. If we are to be able to recycle this traction energy, build on this thing so that it can be able to be something that is used in the future, because we're really highly challenged as a people, as a country, in terms of energy. But also, are you thinking of maybe having solar energy in some of your plants, some of your products, as you're dealing with the issues currently now? Because much as we were thinking of recycling, because my thinking is that you're thinking in terms of recycling, are you also thinking of clean energy as you're dealing with the things? Thank you very much. I'm going to give you 15 minutes to respond so that we are an hour almost behind schedule. We don't get later on that, and then we'll be taking the next entity once you have responded. If there will be some questions that you have not been able to respond to, we will gladly receive those responses 5 working days in writing to the secretary of the committee. Would appreciate that, because those will be important inputs going forward. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think I don't know if there's still other issues that you want to tease out. Dr. Mlife, I'm giving it back to yourself.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Honourable members, I'm going to choose what I consider to be probably easy and general questions. And leave the rest to the team. Let me start off with the question whether are we ready, local government will be ready to for the devolution of the mandate on public transportation. Now, the first point we must make is that it is not as if it is something that we will do when we wish to. It is a requirement of the law, the National Land Transportation Act, but it is also an imperative set out in the
National Development Plan. But quite clearly, it is not something that TASA alone can do with local government. It requires us to approach the challenges in an integrated way. It means the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs itself, and I know it is doing this way, need to constantly engage local governments with regard to assessing their capacities and their readiness to discharge certain responsibilities deriving from the overall mandate given to them. I know that the current minister is rigorously going through a process of ensuring that the people with the right skills are in the right places at that level of local government. It's going to be a process, and it would not be something that could be achieved in a simultaneous manner at the whole level of it. There will be those local governments that are stronger and are ready. Probably when you think of Etekwini, Tswane, Metro of Cape Town, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, and so on, they would more likely to have capacity more than the other. I think the provincial governments themselves also have a responsibility through a system of intergovernmental relations and forums, but the structures that have been created there, to constantly monitor this readiness. I'm sure it will be made part of their integrated development planning at local municipality. But we appreciate that it has to be done. Obviously, our team as well has to be in this constant engagement with the structures at that level. Another question that I thought could be answered in a generic way is a similar question, Honorable Chairperson, you raised about scholar transportation system. I know Lucky, the group CEO, sometimes when he has this passion about public value, responsible investing, he makes some statements that says, no, we don't want profit. But I must say that in the presentation, we do talk about making TASA a sustainable organization. So even as you provide a scholar transportation system, you've got to say those buses have to be maintained. You would need to refurbish them. You need to buy new ones as and when they become obsolete. So the challenge then would be, how do we approach this question in an integrated manner with the Department of Education, for example, when they do their own budgeting? And I know they've been doing it over the years. They've got to seriously deal with the question of allocation for scholar subsidies, because that's the only way in which we can deal with this thing. The other day I was talking to the group CEO, didn't necessarily relate to scholars, but they were saying to me, because the government is not giving a subsidy that is above inflation, there cannot be, there is no agreement between government in the provinces, particularly the Northwest, and PASCO. And PASCO is now withdrawing, they gave notice that they were going to withdraw the buses. And Braga had to position itself through Autoplex to say, how then do we come here to present ourselves not just as a savior, but understand that we have a social service to offer. And they are busy working on that. And I think it is in that spirit that the issue of scholar transportation does need to be dealt with. And I appreciate
the problems that the Honourable Chairperson raised about the number of school kids who die in trucks and so on. I've seen quite a number of these accidents, and it's a matter of great concern to all of us. And I think collectively we need to continue to address these questions as matters of agency. On the skills development, I'm always very conservative in responding to that question, to the extent that we would think that there would immediately be less use of consulting. I think it's a process. To build those skills is going to take quite a time. Naturally, if at a certain time we have warm bodies with the kinds of skills we have, would use less consultants. But the business we're involved in is also a very complex business. A complex business which this new government is undertaking for the first time. The many people who were in this space, in the old order, are in the afternoons of their lives. And there would not have been thorough preparation, mentoring younger people to work in that space. Because as you recall, the way in which transport was used, it was not to meet all these challenges that we are defining now. It was just, you get to an aid station, carry those workers to work. It doesn't matter what is the state of that train, as long as it can be delivered in Durandfontein, Jeffrey Station, and George Koch, it's okay. We're now taking upon us much bigger responsibility that require skills that are deep, broad, and well spread. So it's going to take time for us to do that. So I'm not speaking for Lucky. Maybe he knows how soon he's going to add consultants, but I would say on complex organizations such as this one, we would need to be very cautious. There has been the question about women in rail, who, where, how many. That question was raised previously in the portfolio committee. I think when we return next time to future reports, probably when we discuss the annual report, we would have to respond to those questions. We had also said we would respond to these questions in writing. Group CEO would need to do so. And I was talking to some of the members of this committee. They haven't forgotten that some of the questions we said we're not ready to give you the details now. We'll return to you in writing. So we must remember that we've got to do that. Chairperson, I talked for too long. Let me leave my members of my team to answer some of the questions that they are able to deal with. The issue of communication and educating the public. It is a matter that has been receiving priority attention within PRASA. I know Dr. Sipho Stole, who's the chief strategist, he's not yet doctor, but he's about to get his PhD, has been addressing that matter, and I've personally been taking serious interest in the matter to say our marketing strategy is not good enough, and we have also spoke about how we change the culture in our trains so that our people begin to behave like those people who use the how train. So we would have to go into this massive education of the commuters. Hopefully commuters associations also will assist us in educating our people. So it is a matter that we are dealing with, including safety matters in the new trains, how people must behave, and so so on and so on. I think on the crime on the train matter, I'm going to leave all those to the group CEO, and that which we are not able to deal with, we will indeed present in writing.
Thank you very much. When you are in your afternoons, you always talk a lot.
I'm sure you now understand where I get this from. It's a mandate, it's a line from the board. I'll be very brief just to confirm some of the things. I agree with the chair. I agree with the chair, with the chairman of the board, that particularly on the skill side, I want to emphasize on that. And also change the method of choice. Because, I mean, let me give an example. If you build more lots, France would have different kind of skills on the planning side of it. But if you're going by technical skills from the root determination and everything, you know, some of the studies about the soil conditions and everything, those sort of the choice about what extent. So you see other areas where growth in other areas where it's reduced. Chair, I think I want to assure the chair that we've taken the steps in respect of the three main cost drivers. On energy, TRASA has signed an agreement with ESCOM, and I think that is giving us a different kind of rate. And I think the pricing mechanism is there so that it doesn't go out of control whilst we implement numerous energy efficient measures, which I think in our response we can reply within 5 days, that will include into that process. I think, Chair, what has come up today very strongly is that if you look at FASA, the issue of being the transport of last resort has to be understood for what it is. And I think that we are not dealing with it, particularly for rural districts, particularly for poorer provinces. It's very important that we come in, of course, but we need to ensure that the mechanism is one that is properly done. There's the issue of litigation again that I want to assure the chair. PRASA is facing litigation second to REF. I'm very happy that we've been able to work with the Road Accident Fund. In fact, they've helped us. They've even given us some of their attorneys to help us. Because as the REF closes the door on these attorneys who were driving this litigation, we realized that they were all running to PRASA. So REF has helped us. We've been able to close the door. And I want to report, Chair, that some of the attorneys that were in the past defrauding REF and who ran to PRASA, some of them were arrested and charged. And we've had cases where, and I think I want to thank our colleagues at REF for sharing their experiences over the years. So we've seen that change. The second strategy that I'm working with REF, we have been gone out and to issue a bid, inviting for people to tender for what we call a commuter cover. Now the commuter cover avoids litigation and a huge administrative cost, because it's on no-fault basis. If someone gets injured, they've got their ticket, you know that they are guaranteed a certain amount of money without having to go to court. Currently, we've got a long court process, and someone has paid 9,000. Yet the costs have been very huge. So a commuter cover is a major mitigating factor that we deal with. But REF and PRASA have been working together to deal with this particular issue as well.
Can I share? Do you communicate to our commuters on some of these things? Because these are very important issues that the commuters should be able to know. Such that if I've got my ticket and something happens, I should be able to produce that as evidence that I was on the train.
So we embarked, in fact, we have an agreement now, which is it came out of an agreement we reached with COSATU, as well as with the what you call rail action commuter group. You recall that they brought a class action. And that class action was resolved out of court, but it was made an order of the court. One of those, it requires us to establish regional offices where commuters will be able to go. We said we want to change the ticket so that at the back of the ticket, we can include that as part of the information that is there. And I think many commuters, particularly if you look at the Merafe train incident, where two trains collided and over 1,000 people were injured, we we used that time to communicate quite aggressively with people on those, and I think we'll take that as also the recommendation for us to intensify that kind of intervention. Chair, some few assurances. Honorable Bushiello, we are working with the provincial government. We want the Kai Rail to be transferred to Transnet so that we can upgrade the entire work. The line is suspended. That is why we travel for 9 hours between Mthatha and East London. We don't think it will work. It's not competitive. That is why, even though it's cheap, but people cannot use it because you have to book a hotel effectively or get a place to sleep over, say, in one of the cities. We think that if the line is transferred to us, we undo the line. We take out, we put different kinds of technology, we'll be able to increase the speed and probably reduce the travel times by over 3 hours, and that's what we do. Honorable people went out, but yes, another well project we're talking about is the one in Port Elizabeth. It's aimed at adding 40,000 people in the onto our rail line, and it will connect the city, Motherwell, as well as Nuha, the development around there. So that is the work that we are doing, and I think we've already gone out on tender for both professional services and later for construction, and that will be very important. I want to assure Honorable Sibande that Monaco is part of the presentation. We didn't go into much into that detail, but I think we went even with the Minister of Transport a week ago. Last Sunday we had Moloto with the community, working on that, reporting back to a community, a public meeting that was there, on the progress we were making. And I think Prasa has moved to establish an office, but there's a lot of discussions currently between the Department of Transport as well as the National Treasury. But we think that it should be a good intervention. Of course, Moloto is not only about the rail solution, but also about an economic development strategy. And getting it right is going to be very important in how we are going to move on to that particular time. I accept that the travel times on rail are not good. And that is why it makes rail, particularly on the long distance side, not competitive. If you travel for long hours, 5 to 11 hours, and your competitor does 5, you're not going to win. And we think, Chair, that there is a lot of possibilities which are being discussed between Prasa and Transnet. One of the major issues that we're discussing is the fact that we upgrade the system to run at much higher speed than there is, it is the case now. I think that the Department of Transport should help us, particularly with its rail policy, because we should be running. The current network allows for a speed of about 140 kilometers per hour. But in most of the network, because of poor maintenance and other conditions, we're running at 70, 50. Now, that is not good for long distance. The last two issues that I just want to touch on, Chair. We work with the cities. The city of Cape Town is working quite well with us, what we call the Transport for Cape Town. And of course, we work together. There are times when we release land to the city to meet the proper land for transport objectives. And they take that and they develop that. Of course, Prasa is not in the process of moving people from their land. We don't plan the actual transport. The chairman of the board referred to the National Land Transport Act. It gives the authority for integrated transport planning to the municipalities. So where the lines of the road should run is not a decision of Prasa, it's a decision of the cities that are there. It's unfortunate that we may have transferred land, for example, in Cape Town to the city, and that land, for example, is used and part of the relocation of people are affected. But we think that we'll participate in those processes, supporting government's objectives, but making sure that things are handled in a more humane manner, as it were. Currently, with the city of Cape Town, we've had numerous agreements that we've signed. There's a memorandum of agreement that we concluded, but we haven't been able to sign. We're waiting for the council. It's now been approved, and I think that we'll be signing that anytime soon. Finally, on my side, Chair, the question that has been raised by Honorable Rosinho about us disposing of 500 properties. I think there's no contradiction. Prasa sits on huge assets, including lots of residential properties. These are all over the country. We must maintain them, we must secure them, and we think that they're not even part of our plan to do that, and it's part of the application to the department that we'll be allowed to dispose, for example, of residential properties and everything. But if you analyze that, you'll see that the ratio we're talking about, the ratio that is aimed at ensuring that we dispose of assets that are not helping for our short and long term objectives, but that are costly to maintain. One, if you analyze our cost, you'll see that municipal rates and taxes are one of the major drivers of cost. And what are they? It's for houses. It's for pieces of land that we're not going to build the railway line in the next 100 years, as it were. And we think that that rebalancing act is required. So it's part of our asset restructuring. Some of the assets are being revalued, of course, and you get the values increasing. So it's the rebalancing act through this asset restructuring thing. It don't undermine the asset liability ratio that we're trying to maintain, or that we're trying to improve the financial position of PRASA. Chair, as the chairman of the board said, the other questions, I think they're quite detailed. We'll write a reply, and hopefully we get that sent to the committee within the next 5 days, as instructed by the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are going to take just 5 minutes comfort break while CRPT makes entrance, and thank you, Dr. Moyefe, and the board members of PRASA. Thank you, the CEO and the team PRASA. You've heard what the committee members are saying. Don't rest on your laurels. The more you deliver, the more we want to see more, and we expect that you have to work with the other CEOs and just model some of the things that you're doing. Thinking out of the box should be the concept that most of the CEOs are doing. We are happy. I must indicate that you are the fifth, if not the sixth, parastatal that is SOE that comes to us. And we haven't seen skirmishes, I must indicate, and we hope that we're going to continue like that. Enjoying working with yourself and working together, we have to do more in the interest of the people of the Republic. But as we're doing that over and over again, particularly you working with commuters, you must also go and spread the message that we are Africans, we are one people, and therefore we cannot allow Africans hating themselves to start wanting to kill other Africans. Xenophobia not in our names as the people of the Republic of South Africa. This is a message that the commuters must have every day in your train, if you can, have it so published that we must just know that, after all, we are human beings, irrespective of where you come from. We have to really love one another and understand that we are here in Africa, and Africa belongs to all of us. Thank you very much.
How are you? I went. Yeah, I am the host. What's your son?
I know, what's your son?
Yeah?
What's your son?
Yeah,
I am something. What's up?
Hey, it's all free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is good. 10%
valuable.
That's cool.
How are you?
Thank you very much.